final week that we're talking a little bit about spiritual gifts. Last week we talked a little bit about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of the more perhaps supernatural gifts, and I want to take today to tie in our scriptures a little bit and talk about some of the other gifts that are listed in Holy Scripture. First, though, I'd like to just tell you a brief story. When I was 10 years old, I was invited to play the piano for a sewing circle. Some ladies met at the Harkness House every week, and they usually had a performer come in and play the piano or do some music or something like that for them. And my organ teacher, Harriet Richardson from Springfield, was one of the members of this sewing circle, and she knew that I was going to go on to school for music, and she said, "Now, Christian, I know you don't like performing, but you really need to get some experience playing in front of other people. So I want you to come and play with these ladies. They're very nice." And so I went to the Harkness House, you know, and I just felt like a fish out of water. I played Mozart's Variations. We know it sort of as Twinkle Twinkle Little Star for them. And they presented me with a gift at the end. And I was so excited to get this gift. I had no idea what was in there. And so I tore open the paper in front of them. And I pulled out two heavy-duty brass coat hangers. What every child wants. Right? Mom, it's like, wow. And so I internally was feeling this wave of disappointment, but I had to show on my face that I was really appreciative of these coat hangers. And so I thanked them. And I still have one. I later found out that they were all brainstorming what to get me as a gift for playing for them. And my organ teacher told them that my clothes were always wrinkled. So, right? So what better than giving me a coat hanger? Sometimes people know something about us. They know what gift we could use. I can tell you, I didn't use those coat hangers for years. They sort of floated around, and when I finally went off to college, my mom said, "Take these things, they're yours." So I did, and then I used them. But you know, I wonder sometimes if God feels like he's given us gifts, and we kind of look at them like, "What are these coat hangers? I don't know what to do with this thing. It doesn't make any sense. It's certainly not what I was hoping for." But God knew that your clothes were wrinkled and you needed a coat hanger, you know, so to speak. So I'm sure we've all had that experience where we've opened up a gift, hoping maybe for something, and we open it up and we go, "Oh, thanks. I really wanted that." But inside we're like, "I hope there's a gift receipt." You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, we've been spending some time there. Later in that chapter, we read, "And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." Now, there are lists of gifts here. There are a list of gifts in Romans. And then there are some other places scattered throughout Scripture where you can see where it's clearly a gifting that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Last week we went through some of the more supernatural sort of gifts of the Holy Spirit, and as some people call them. And this week we're going to take a look at some different ones. So the title of the apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means a messenger, or one sent forth with orders. pastor. It's from the Greek word for shepherd. In theory, pastors are gifted to lead and guide and to set an example for other Christians. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's a structure that talks about teacher and pastor that should be sort of considered one term, but some people think that teacher and pastor are two different callings. Sometimes they come together, sometimes they're separate. Not all pastors are teachers, and not all teachers are pastors. Some people have gifts for teaching, some people have spiritual gifts for pastoring. Teaching, someone who devotes his or her life to preaching and teaching the Christian faith. When teaching is provided for by the church of God, there are two gifts actually given. The church is given a teacher, and along with a teacher comes the divine capacity to teach. If you've ever sat under the leadership of somebody who is not gifted to preach or not gifted to teach, it helps to put in contrast the gifts of preaching and teaching that are out there. There's another gift of service, and the word is the word from which we get the word deacon. There are lots of different types of ministries and service within the church, and this gift sort of describes a broad array of gifts that can apply and fall under that. You know, specifically, the word deacon talks about someone who is to bring an awareness of the needs of the world to the church and the gifts of the church to the world. How about exhortation? Have you ever been encouraged by somebody? Have you ever been called out, but it didn't bother you so much because in your heart of hearts you knew it was true? Have you ever been encouraged to endure or to have patience? Or have you ever experienced love from somebody that maybe you didn't deserve? Maybe someone was encouraging you on in good works or in trying to discover your spiritual gifts even. You know, that could be a gift of exhortation. Do you find joy in encouraging other people, coming alongside them and saying, you know what? This was fantastic when you did this. It's clear that God is working in your life and using you in this way. Go for it. That's some more of exhortation. What about giving? That's listed as a spiritual gift. You know, we are all called to give. We are all supposed to be obedient in our giving. But it seems like some people are able to give with extraordinary generosity, oftentimes not out of their abundance, but sacrificially. And while all Christians are called to be givers, those who have this gift will go beyond normal giving. You know, I know somebody over in New Hampshire that probably has this spiritual gift, and they actually took on another job so they can support more missionaries. And I know, right? and so that's what they're doing. God has called them to do this, and now they're a security guard someplace working third shift so they can support some other missionaries here and there. It's a pretty amazing thing. There are spiritual gifts in leading, right? Various leadership roles found in the church. Sometimes we think of roles of administration or management of funds or planning strategy as functions outside the supernatural realm, but in reality, when the Holy Spirit of God empowers these areas, there's spiritual wisdom that can be brought to bear, and the right steps can be taken at the right times. How about gifts of mercy? You know, could be similar to the gift of helps, showering mercy on those that need it, perhaps through visitation or prayer or compassion to the poor and the sick. Did you hear the Old Testament lesson today about reaching out to those that are in our community, that are around us, who are in need, and how important that is? God thinks that's really important. Important enough that there's a spiritual gift for it as well. We're all called to do it, but some people have a gift for it. Have you ever gone and visited somebody in the hospital and you walked away from it with this sense of, I did what God asked me to do? You know, or you're with somebody and you're praying for them and God shows up. Maybe you hear about these needs and you're compelled to go and to meet with people and pray for them or to meet their needs. Maybe you're gifted in that way. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." You know, that word for leading in that section is the same word that helps us to understand the idea of steering or being a helmsman. You know, it could be a gift that refers to the God-given capacity to lead a church through difficult times or stormy seas or a challenging moment in the life of the church. But all of those gifts that are listed, and there are more elsewhere in Scripture, Paul is telling us, whatever your gift is, use it. Do it. Don't let it sit there. It might sound like an impossible task. You might feel like, well, I think this is what my gift might be, but I'm not sure. And then there's this great gulf of that understanding to, how do I apply it? What do I do? How do I engage it? How do I invite the Holy Spirit to teach me? Where do I go from here? In the epistle lesson today, we learn that we need the Holy Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit that are spiritually discerned. We're not going to bring necessarily only our rational mind to bear and read a book about it to be able to function in and use a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in order to function in those gifts. You know, in many ways, I'm hoping that it's a relief that we don't need to figure it out on our own. Right? It's our obedience and willingness to be used by God, but it is His Spirit that releases the gift in us and applies it in the context of the body of Christ, the church, and the world. So Paul also makes it clear when he says he doesn't come in the power and the wisdom of the world, but in the power and the wisdom of the Spirit. He doesn't have to generate that understanding or power from himself. It's given to him and flows through him by the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual gifts to bring the Lord to the church and to the world are given to you by the Holy Spirit and enacted in you by the Holy Spirit and flow from you by the Holy Spirit. You aren't doing it yourself. You don't have to do it yourself. You have to be willing to be obedient and open yourself up to the leading of God. And that's where our responsibility lies, is in saying, "Lord, here I am. Send me. I want to know what you have for me and what you've given me and what you want me to do." The gospel lesson today is a high calling and an exhortation. And in some respects, it's a little bit of a warning, too. Salt of the earth. We talked about that with the kids a little bit. Light of the world. Carolyn, yesterday or the day before, I can't remember. Do you think I could find a flashlight? I give them to our family at Christmas time every year. They get several. But they disappear. I don't know.